Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Wednesday. Obviously, we're still in the midst of waiting to see what the Grizzlies do when it comes to their future for this season, but I've been very excited about this episode because of the guest that I have today. His name is Kosta Mevedovsky. He is the creator of the Darko advanced metric when it comes to the NBA, a very fun and just exciting metric, if you will, because of the future projections that it provides, but a great NBA mind as well. Mr. Mevedovsky, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I know that your work has been referenced, I believe, through The Athletic. I know that I have seen many good, great basketball minds that I'm sure a lot of folks in Memphis follow have referenced your projection systems. And one of the reasons we wanted to get you on the show, there were some very favorable future projections that came out for Ja Morant, DeAnthony Melton. Me and you talked to Xavier Tillman, and we'll get into those in just a second. But the first question I want to ask you is this. Darko, the thing that sets it apart from other advanced metrics is the future projections aspects of it. I'm a huge baseball fan. I know you reference Zips as being a future projection system. Just in general, for those of us who may just get an introduction to Darko, what about it is so specific that sets it apart from other metrics?
Yeah, so I like yourself, I'm a baseball fan. Darko's designed to mimic a lot of baseball projection systems at the core. So rather than looking back just at what a player did this year, or maybe 2 years, or maybe even some 3 years, what it does is it looks back at every game a player has ever played, and it weights the more recent games more heavily. And it calculates that weighting in order to create a future projection, which on the Darko website is shown for their projection for the very next game of like, here's how good I think a player will be for the very next game. So the idea is that if a player has a good second half of the year, you can look at their stats and it'll tell you, well, here's how much you should weight this good second half against maybe the so-so first half that they had.
And if you go to Kosta's Twitter account, which is at KMEDVED, in his description on his profile, it gives a very good description of what Darko is, what separates it. And you talked about it there, Kosta, is that when it comes to the Darko metric, you felt that what it opens the door to is the future projections, something that's still kind of unexplored when it comes to NBA metrics. And my guess is that you've created this metric, but it's constantly something you're tweaking to try to make it better in time as well.
Yeah, I'm working on it pretty much constantly. I started off with sort of basic box score projections. You know, it's projecting rebounds, projecting three-point shooting, free throw shooting. And then there was a lot of demand for sort of an all-in-one metric, which are fun to look at, you know, have controversial in some circles, but sort of like the PIPM stat or RAPM or those stats. So I built out some Darko's own version of that. And the metric basically works and looks similar, but the difference is rather than those stats, which are backward looking and they tell you how well a player's played this year, it is inherently forward looking. It tells you how good I think a player is going to be going forward.
And obviously that certainly has value in it, in that, you know, again, it's not based off, you know, what you've seen a player do. It's based off factors that you feel are going to influence how a player will be. How do those factors come into play? From a basic numbers perspective, you could start to see where the value is with Darko. But with changes that may not be numerical, like coaching changes, changes of team, different philosophies that they go to, how are those factors incorporated to something that's so based on projection and numerical analysis?
So I have to work within the limits of the data I have. So there's a lot of history of players changing teams, changing coaches. And so what I've done with Darko is I've essentially looked at what happens to a player's three-point shooting when he changes teams or he changes coaches. The answer there is, you know, there's a little bit of a regression to the mean. What happens to their free throw shooting? Essentially nothing. Free throw players are the same free throw shooter, regardless of who the coach is. What happens to their assist percentage? Huge changes. So what Darko does is it looks at the history of other players who've changed teams, changed coaches, and it tries to model that impact going forward for other players. You know, I can't get it. It doesn't get into the details of a specific coach's scheme. It just sort of looks at his at it from the point of view of a team change or a coaching change. Of it's sort of a binary variable, we would call it.
And the other question that I'll ask is this, is that you also look at these, you know, like basketball in there, B-ball index and other, you know, sites that go really deep into the analytics. You see the different player profiles play a part in this as well. Like recent Grizzly for 24 hours, Patrick Beverley, you look at his 3-point shooting over the past 4 years, you look at nearly 40%, you get a bit excited. But then when you break it down, it's mostly on catch and shoot open 3-pointers instead of creating his own shot contested 3-pointers. Is there more way given to more valuable skill sets? Like if a player shoots very well on pull-ups, which is more valuable than on catch and shoot, how does that play a part in the projections?
Yeah, so that factors in a couple different ways. Darko, you know, looks at basic box score stats, but also the various tracking stats that have become recently available, and we can really let us take a look at those catch and shoot stats. And each one of those stats has its own value when it's sort of rolled up into the Darko all in value system. You know, a made three is a made three. But in terms of the impact, the spacing value that they provide, the value of a catch and shoot versus, you know, pull up three might be a little different. And also they're slightly different just in terms of, how forward projectable they are. Again, if you're shooting well on, if you're shooting 40% on catch and shoot, that may not be the same as shooting 40% on pull-up threes. Pull-up threes are, you know, are tougher. So if you're shooting well at a high volume, they might may project differently. And so Darko takes all that into account. The different predictabilities, you know, sometimes we call stabilization rates for different metrics.
And it's amazing to look at the detail that you go through. I've got to ask, just out of curiosity, what was the time frame on this? I know obviously it's something that you're consistently tweaking, which thank you for doing that. It consistently makes it, you know, be an up-to-date product. How long from beginning to end, from A to Z, did it take you to at least, you know, create a functional blueprint with this model that you came up with? What was the time frame on that?
I had a pretty good chunk of time a couple of years ago in the summer. I'd say it took me most of the summer, probably 5-6 hours a day. You know, later into the night, I've I'm a lawyer full time, so I have to work that around family life. But it took a lot of late nights and weekends to put together the basic framework to get it to work. And then for the last year and a half, I've been iterating it out, building out additional functionality and features.
For one reason or another, I'm sure we all love the summer. Sunny skies, warm weather, being outside at the pool, cookouts, at gatherings with friends and family. It's a great time to be able to enjoy being outside. But for some of us, it could be less than ideal simply because some may suffer from excessive sweating as the heat rises. Well, if that's you, I can tell you that there's something that definitely can help out, and that's Sweat Block Wipes. Doctor created and doctor recommended. It works up for 7 days per use. You get a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show. It's been a top seller on Amazon for 10 years, over 13,000 reviews as well. Wear what you want to wear again with confidence due to your little secret to confidence, and that's Sweat Block Wipes. It should be a part of anybody's toiletry bag and certainly will help get the job done to make you enjoy the summer. Once again, if you or someone you love is dealing with this, try out Sweat Block Wipes. You can go to CVS or check out Amazon.com and find Sweat Block there, or you can go to sweatblock.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON and get 20% off your next order from sweatblock.com. Once again, get your confidence back now by trying Sweat Block Wipes. It'll certainly make a difference for you. Does this sound familiar? You've got a device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. This means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirectTV.com. That's DirectTV.com. Compatible by device required. Content varies by package. With some of the folks that I've talked with, Costa, when it comes to those who have created these type of systems, I'm either convinced that you only get 2 hours of sleep, or with how good you are with mathematics, you've been able to turn days into 48 hours instead of 24 with how much time it must take. So a lot of commitment, I'm sure.
I drink about a gallon of coffee every day. I'm not joking.
Well, hey, the thing that, though, is it's a commitment, you know, and that's certainly what stands out. But the reason why, in all honesty, I wanted to talk with you is because, of course, here in Memphis, Ja Morant is all the buzz, worth all the buzz with the impact that he's made. And the thing about it is that you were talking about future projections. I believe that the year was specifically 2026. Now, as someone that is learning the Darko system, I don't want to, you know, misquote and saying that Ja projected as being the most valuable player in the league. But with the group of names that was there, he certainly had a favorable outlook. What about Ja is so intriguing to Darko's system that makes you feel he is a very projectable player into potentially being a superstar?
Yeah, so you know, Darko looks at his basic biographical stats and knows his height, his weight. He's got very good measurables. He knows he was the number two pick, which gives him a lot of growth potential. And knows he's young, so it has all those sort of basic biographical stats. And then on top of that, Darko leans heavily on what we call on-off data. So that data that shows how the team performs with you on the court versus how they perform without you on the court, and it looks at the difference between the two. And then it does a lot of adjustment for opponents and adjustments for three-point shooting luck, free throw shooting luck, a lot of those kinds of things. And Ja's held up very well in that on-off data in a way that's fairly unusual for a rookie or a sophomore player. So it's sort of a famous stat finding that even the best players are pretty terrible as rookies. And Ja's rookie year was a pretty impactful one on the positive side, which is unusual. And then the other thing Darko sees in Ja that it really likes is his free throw shooting, which in terms of future projection, Darko leans very, very heavily on free throw shooting as being a strong predictor of how a player's growth potential. It's previously spotted some other guys. Jamal Murray was pretty high on because it was excellent free throw shooting. And it was big into Brandon Ingram's breakout year because the free throw shooting made it believe in the three-point shooting improvement a lot more. So Ja's free throw shooting is a good indicator combined with that on-off data.
And the on-off data probably plays a bit into this. We all obviously hope the shot certainly develops. But one thing that I think that certainly stands out about him is also his playmaking ability and his ability to elevate his teammates. What aspect of that also plays into the projections of Ja in terms of, I know it, again, you just can go back to the on-off data, but that certainly seems to be a big, big value for him that may not always show up in the box scores.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, that might not show up in the box scores, but that's the beauty of the on-off data. To the extent he's elevating his teammates, creating high value assists as opposed to, I'm going to call the Rajon Rondo assist, that's going to show up in that on-off data, and you'll get his teammates will perform better. The on-off data will reflect that all around, even if it's not being credited directly to his points or even assist numbers. To the extent opponents need to respect his shot, even down the road, that's being factored into the on-off data.
The other thing that I'll ask is that it's only 2 years into his career. It does seem like Ja may be someone whose impact outperforms how the measurables and these all-in-one stats really measure his game. He doesn't seem to be an all-in-one stat type darling as of yet because the shooting and defense may not be there. But is that something that Darko tries to make up for? Is yes, the all-in-one stats certainly have their value, but also trying to say we also want to, account for value that may be outside the box score, and that's what on-off stats basically do.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to oversell sell it. Right now, Darko definitely thinks Ja had a very good rookie year, but he, you know, thinks he's still sort of a work in progress. But you know, when we looked at the when I looked at those 5 year out projections, that's where he really popped. You know, he jumped to be being one of the best young prospects in the game. You know, ahead of I think in the projections I posted on Twitter, ahead of Zion, for instance. You know, he so it's the future projection is really where he pops in Darko, even if it's Darko's not sure he's like, you know, a superstar yet.
The other thing that I'll say is this, is that obviously one of the things that also goes into that on-off data is that one of the things that stands out, the Grizzlies are a rebuilding team, a young roster that has plenty of talent that's still developing. It makes sense when you have a play creator like Ja on the court, he elevates teammates. When he's off the court, they don't have that creation. But as the Grizzlies roster continues to evolve and his supporting cast gets better, could that impact his projections a bit? Because as the overall roster gets a bit better, the on-off numbers may not be as favorable. Is there a way that you factor that into the equation when future projections come into play?
Yeah, so the balance, Darko has a sort of a box score component and an on-off component, and you can see those both on the site, broken out separately. And so the actual blend between those two, it's not like a 50-50 blend. It actually varies over time based on as a player gets more possessions and as the number of possessions that his teammates have had with him changes. So it sort of changes the blending dynamically in a way that I've found helps predict the outcome of future games well.
And for those that also may have a bit of concern, because, you know, just to be honest, I don't ever see Ja really being, you know, a defensive impact type player. But maybe overcoming that is what he does individually and what he does for others. Is there more of a weight towards offensive productivity over defensive productivity? Or is it what helps Ja is what he can do for himself plus others that really makes him stand out besides his defensive limitations?
So, you know, Darko values offense and defense equally. There's no preference for one of the two over the other. What I can say there is that offense tends to be more predictable and more repeatable. We need to tend to lean more heavily on the on-off data for defense because we don't have very good box measures of it. But that on-off data is just very noisy. And so players tend to get regressed to the mean, we call it, until they have a ton of possessions, until we have a high degree of confidence. So, you know, that's how Darko balances the two. So functionally, it does end up putting more weight on offense because it just believes what it's seeing a lot more on the offensive end.
I'm sure we all love to enjoy a tasty snack during the day. Maybe enjoy it for breakfast or maybe join in the afternoon just as a boost to get through the day. Well, I can tell you there's a product out there that not only allows for you to have a healthy snack, one that tastes great, but also adds a boost to your day, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Yes, have it in the morning for breakfast or the afternoon as a snack. But the great thing about it is it combines all the great benefits I've already mentioned, but also provides you with over 18 different options when it comes to your taste buds. And the great thing about it is that while you may have a preference for one taste over the other, none of them are bad. Any of them will make your day better. If you go to Built.com right now, not only can you choose from those over 18 different tastes to enjoy, but you could also put in the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. That's 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which means that you can make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, during the season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will actually be refunded, up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports, on all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Don't forget when you sign sign up to use the promo code Locked On for new opportunities. I love how you put that, the repetitions of being able to, you know, once you figure out what works for the team, that chemistry. I also know it's easier to measure offense by numbers, but I also think that the outside-the-box score, you know, the mindset of Jaw, his ability to develop plays two or three steps ahead of the defense, the chemistry with teammates, the trust, I think that plays a part in it, and that's something that may not be measured. So that's a very good way of looking at it. So obviously a favorable outlook for Jaw, but there seems to be certainly a favorable outlook for a few other players. One name that certainly stood out was DeAnthony Melton. Now, you've got two-way aspects with DeAnthony Melton, but the thing that sticks with me with DeAnthony Melton, he just makes such a significant positive impact anytime he's on the court. That certainly has to weigh in his favor through the projection systems.
Yeah, Darko loves Melton. He basically thinks he's probably, you know, I don't have a formal ranking here, but that he's probably the most underrated player in the league. He pops in sort of every way for Melton. You know, his on-off numbers are consistently excellent going back to Phoenix, and they've only gotten better in Memphis. He's got, again, that excellent free throw shooting. He broke 80% this year. And again, that was paired with a big improvement in his three-point shooting. So I mentioned Ingram, and it's a similar effect where three-point shooting by itself can be noisy, but based on Darko's research, when free throw shooting and three-point shooting improve in concert, Darko tends to find that that's more repeatable and more predictable of an actual improvement in talent. You know, I don't have like video going into the model, but it suggests that there's probably something going on, maybe with the shooting mechanics. It's sort of an indirect measure of that, if the player has improved in both shooting metrics simultaneously. So Darko looks at that profile and sees, you know, a bunch of growth potential. He's 22. He's strong defensively. He's improved a lot as a shooter. He's got good length. His wingspan is good. So, you know, his usage remains kind of pretty low. I think it was about 20%. So I don't think he's about to turn into, you know, Kawhi Leonard or like some, you know, high usage guy necessarily, but that's a player who fits in a high minute role on almost every team in the league.
And the reason why is because with Melton, it seems, is that along with the shooting, he just makes plays. Like when he's on defense, I'm not trying to coin a phrase here, but you got 3-and-D guys, good three-point shooters who can defend in terms of the general sense of defense. With DeAnthony Melton, it's 3-and-T almost. He can shoot the three, but he creates turnovers all over the place, and that gets the team on the run, which certainly helps. So it certainly seems being able to make plays on both ends of the court probably plays into having a good projection through Darko as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the guy I would compare him to is, I know we mentioned him earlier, is Pat Beverly. Pat Beverly, when he came in the league, in Houston, he was that was a player in high demand. Teams were really after him because that, you know, you create turnovers, you don't have to, you're not asked to do too much on the offensive end. You make your threes. Beverly had a bunch of those 40% seasons, I think. Shooting waxed and waned. But then on the defensive end, you just terrorize them and you create turnovers, and that, you know, then you push on the offense end.
And the other thing that stands out between Jaw and DeAnthony Melton, and then the third Grizzly who you had mentioned, Darko seems to really love, Xavier Tillman, there is an instinct and intelligence level that really stands out. There's a high basketball IQ, which is something the Grizzlies really seem to value. And you've got a guy in Xavier Tillman, Casa, who may not have the physical projection that a lot of people might like, but he makes plays. His true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage are all high. Good free throw percentage for a big, but he constantly adds positive value. I would imagine that probably plays a role in why he may be highly favored through Darko's projections.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the easiest measure there again is the on-off data. The on-off data captures that sort of basketball IQ, and I absolutely agree with you. The value of basketball IQ, it's maybe a tough aspect to project because it doesn't show up, you know, in the combine. But in terms of who's actually an impact player, you know, that's the difference for most guys. Up to, you know, maybe to be a top five player, you need both. You need to be an absolute superstar in both. But you can get a long way with sort of mediocre to uninspiring measurables, just if you know how to play. You know, and the Grizz, like you said, the Grizz have been collecting these guys. I mean, Kyle Anderson's another one. The Grizzlies know where to find these guys. And so, yeah, Darko sees Tillman. He's got good on off data. He's still pretty young. He was a little older for a rookie, but he's still a young player. He sees that kind of rookie year, and that's pretty promising.
And a couple of other players that I'll ask, just because of their seasons really being, you know, one's rookie season upcoming, another one really not necessarily a make or break, but a really kind of career defining year up to this point, would be Jaren Jackson Jr. You have such a unique skill set in a big's body. Obviously, health is there, but there is the same type of defensive playmaking that stands out with Melton and Tillman. There's the shooting aspect that was rare for a guy his size. Do you see Jackson, I know he's not on this list we're talking about, but are there favorable projections for him through Darko?
You know, so Darko's a little bit wary on Jackson right now, because he hasn't shown a lot of growth. You know, he came in as a prospect I really loved. You know, I was part of the, you know, Ben Taylor and really Thinking Basketball really sold me on him. I was big on him as a prospect. So one of the factors that Darko looks at, and this is maybe getting a little bit in nitty gritty, is it looks at the derivative of a player's improvement to see if the trend is good. And though Jackson, you know, maybe due to injuries or whatnot, you know, his trend is relatively flat. You know, he came in as a you know, pretty good for a rookie, but he hasn't shown the kind of growth that would cause him to pop. And maybe that's why he didn't show up on that, I think, top 10 or top 15 list I posted on Twitter.
And that makes sense. The ascension with Melton and Tillman, even though with Tillman it's just his rookie year, it's been a consistent ascension. With Jackson Jr., there have been flashes, and then there's been regression. Flashes, regression, flashes, regression. It's consistency. That also seems to play a part in it, is consistency allowing for you to really continue. If you're showing it at a young age, that should allow for you to really have faith building in the fact that you'll become more than maybe many have thought of you coming into the league.
Absolutely. You know, look, I remain personally a big Jaren Jackson fan. I think Darko's a little bit more wait and see, but I have high hopes for him. I think he'd be a transcendental player if he figures it all out, given his unique skill set. You know, unicorn sort of an overused term, but he really could fall into that category if he gets it all together.
And then the one other player, and I'm not sure, again, I am just starting to, see the edge of the iceberg, I guess, as you could say, when it comes to Darko itself. We drafted a player by the name of Zaire Williams, and I bring him up because you mentioned a Brandon Ingram and how the free throw percentage made this projections, and some others keep faith in him because you saw the stroke to have the faith that three-point shooting would develop. I've seen that same idea with Zaire Williams, but he has had such a wide scope of what he could be, a Cam Reddish or Brandon Ingram. At the end of the day, typically his prayer profile takes a bit of time to develop, but from what you've seen from Zaire Williams, what the numbers may suggest, it does seem like there's at least some favorable potential there that he could certainly become something significant in the next 2 to 3 years to add to what Memphis already has.
Yeah, I mean, look, Darko's primarily an NBA system. I don't know as much about the NCAA. I've done a little looking there. Obviously, it's a good sign that they traded up for him. Shows a lot of faith. And the people I'm friends with in the NBA Twitter community who follow college basketball, they're big fans of him. That's unfortunately not something Darko has a lot I can shed light on directly. I can sort of only speak indirectly about him.
But at least we know now that when it comes to things that you mentioned, like the on-off numbers, the free throw numbers, things such as that, we now know the specific statistics to really put some weight on. If they're trending in the good direction, that could be a good indication he's the next Grizzly that looks really well. And just as one final thought, Costa, is when it comes to the Grizzlies, it certainly seems like there are some favorable projections for many players. Just from your analyzing what the Grizzlies have done over the past few years, it looks like that there certainly is plenty to be excited about when it comes to this young core.
Yeah, I love what they're doing. You know, I think I just posted in my Darko's first cut of win projections for this year. I think I had Grizzlies at 43 or 44 wins, sort of at the cusp of the playoffs. You know, and that's a pretty good outcome for a team that was ostensibly maybe trying to take a step back, you know, with some of the trades, pick up assets. Darko think Steven Adams, you know, can play. You know, I know he was a salary dump almost, but you know, he had okay numbers the last couple of years. They just haven't really been using him because, you know, he doesn't fit maybe with what they're trying to do, but he still has talent. You know, the age of the lumbering center is over, but those guys can still contribute in a limited time. So I'm a big fan of what the Grizzlies are doing. I think, like you mentioned, Jaren's the big mystery. If he's going to really take the next step, but if he does, then, you know, big things are ahead.
Well, Costa, this has been absolutely phenomenal. Anytime, just personally, as someone that loves to learn more about the game, I can learn about an entire projection system while also it being able to show that the Grizzlies are doing great. I'll sign up for that any day of the week. His name is Costa Medvedovsky. Again, I apologize if I've gotten your name wrong. Obviously, the creator of the Darkometric. Costa, where can folks find all your great work and obviously continue to learn about the projection system and see where the Grizzlies might continue to trend through this year?
I post almost everything I do on Twitter. I'm at KMedved, M-E-D-V-E-D. And I post almost everything there. Also, my bio is a link to where you can find the Darko app itself. It's a free everything. All the tools are free, and I'm constantly building it out and adding more materials there.
You heard it here first from Costa himself. Ja Morant will be a three-time MVP winner by 2026. Completely kidding. Costa, if you'll stick with us for just a second, but thank you so much for taking the time to join us and the wonderful insight, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For Costa, my name is Sean Coleman. Again, you can find me on Twitter at StatsSAC, the show's content as well. You can find Costa at KMedved. Make sure to keep up with his consistent projections. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.